You're listening to the Small Business Talk podcast with Kathy Smith, episode 81.
Small Business Talk is a podcast for business owners and entrepreneurs who want a better way to run their businesses without spending years doing it the hard way. Small Business Talk is hosted by Kathy Smith, who has run the same marketing agency for more than 17 years and helped hundreds of business owners achieve their marketing goals.
Welcome to Small Business Talk. Today, my guest is Dr. Bruno Signico, and he's the author of The Art of Compassionate Business. And we're going to have a bit of chat on how to focus on the human aspect of your business to make your business better. So we have a few things that we can talk about there, but one of them is talking about our mission and our purpose. What do you think we should start with looking at there, Bruno?
Thank you very much. Thank you for your invite. This is a very interesting question. Mission, first off, should be meaningful. So for companies to develop a good mission, a good purpose, as I call, should be meaningful. This means that shouldn't focus only on profits. This means that it's very important, the bottom line, but also should focus on bringing about positive change in the environment, creating positive impact on the world. For example, should include aspect of environmentally friendliness, but also should include satisfying the needs of different stakeholders, such as customers, suppliers, the community, the planet as a whole. So they related to win-win agreements for everyone involved, and should include also activity that bring about positive change. These type of activities tend to attract talented people. Why? Because people want to feel inspired. Employees feel much more motivated and customers feel attracted to this company. If you have to, for example, buy a product from a company at the same price, company A that is caring for the environment, this first company, and the similar product from a company B, from a company that does not care for the environment and is sold at the same price, customers are more prone to choose the product from the company that is environmentally friendly. So this is a very important point. Always all decisions that are made by this company that should be aligned with the mission and the planet as a whole.
Absolutely. And I think that's becoming more and more relevant about the planet and how we care for it, especially for the millennials. That's one of the big things that they like to know, that you are actually giving back and looking after the planet. That's great. Okay. So in your book, you talk about a few different things. But before we talk about that, how did you actually come about writing a book?
This book was very slowly incubated and also took a lot of time to think about the perspective, the unique perspective of this book, because I wrote previous business books, but they were the traditional business books that were about profit, strategy, tactics. But also I developed a lot of courses that implied also topics such as motivation or, for example, inspiration, creativity. So I saw that most of the important business books were focusing on traditional aspects of business, but they were leaving the human side aside. But they leave aside very important aspect of business, what we call qualitative aspect of business, such as compassion, empathy, support, care. And I use the word love in this book a lot, and this is what many readers highlighted. That's a very positive point, because I consider love not to be only related to close relationships such as friends, partners, or the family, but they have a much more humanistic perspective on love, which include compassion, generosity, gratitude, care, support, and this can be applied to business relationships and non-business ones. So this book has a very important perspective that is related to the human side, dealing with individuals who have a legitimate need that should be satisfied. And all agreements that you develop in the business environment should be meeting these needs. So this means that the relationship should be long-term oriented, shouldn't be only for a specific transaction, but should have a long-term perspective. And this also came from many years' experience of advising companies and also researching on business topics and also training professionals on. I thought that there was a gap there that should be filled.
Yes, and I think that's a good thing too, because there's no point going to work if you don't like it. So if you're not thinking about the human side of your business, then you're not going to have a good culture. And if you're not going to have a good culture, then people aren't going to enjoy coming to work. The other thing there, of course, is that if you don't like working with the customers you've got, then you're not going to enjoy your job there either. So having that good relationship with your customers also builds for a better culture, and then more people are likely to actually want to buy from you because they'll hear about your great culture.
I agree. Very good words. And I want to add to your words that are excellent. Business is about relationships. The building brick of business is people. So this means that many companies wrongly focus on improving these key performance indicators, such as profitability, productivity, efficiency, and they forget that these key performance indicators are always the natural result of the interaction between a company and its stakeholders. Therefore, when a company develops more loving, more compassionate, more supportive relationship with these stakeholders, these key performance indicators tend to improve naturally. Why? Because they're the result of the interaction between a company and its stakeholders. And a stakeholder want to support the company if they perceive that the company is supporting them. So there will be a mutually beneficial relationship because stakeholder feels supported, the company feels supported, and everyone is winning. However, the traditional focus on business is not this one. Is this mean that we want to, for example, beat competitors, we want to poach customer from competitors, is a scarcity mindset. And in this book, I devote a whole chapter of what we call abundance mindset. This means that the resources, even when economics say that are limited, tend to be unlimited. And you can always develop new resources. And you see new companies coming with very little resources and get successful. We can give the case of Uber or Airbnb, companies that do not own assets, like in the case of Uber, they do not own vehicles, and in the case of Airbnb, they do not own property, but they're very successful because the resource is creativity. They try to develop new business model, new strategic approaches, and obviously, they're very successful.
Yes, and I think definitely with Uber and Airbnb, it's a win-win situation. They're trying to make a win for the customer, as well as a win for the, in the Uber situation, a win for the driver, and then a win for the company as well. So that's definitely an empathetic approach. Yeah, looking at definitely that the human element there, as opposed to some of the older models where it wasn't the same. So abundance mindset, of course, if we think that there's more out there, then we're more likely to make more, which will then help our customers and our employees. And it once again goes back to culture, making a really good culture. So I guess the human aspect of business is really talking about that empathy and that culture.
First off, and in any agreement, any deal that we're negotiating with others, we take into account their needs and our needs, both. This means that a relationship can only prosper when the needs of both parties are met. This is what we call long-term relationship. When companies have an empathetic approach, they tend to focus not only on them, what is very important, their own objective, but also they tend to focus on others. And the question that they ask themselves is, how can we develop an agreement and a relationship that is mutually beneficial and also long-term oriented? Let's talk about customers. Companies that have long-term orientation do not want to sell once. They want customer for life. They want customer to be satisfied, and they want customer to be not only satisfied, because this is the basic requirement. They want them to be delighted. This means happily surprised, and then customers are so satisfied, highly satisfied, that they can come back and they can become unpaid ambassadors. They can recommend this company to other customer, potential customer, prospect, and this obviously by using word of mouth, this company to other customer, and this is a positive cycle. And the company can be promoted without paying anything because they are by offering the highest quality products and services and giving more than the customer is expected. I always tell my clients, this is always under promise and over deliver. You don't boast about your product and services. You deliver the best product and services, and customers are so satisfied that they feel compelled to bring back more customers. They love this company and they want to promote this company wherever they go. And you see positive review, the 5-star review that you, most of them are unpaid because customers feel so satisfied that they feel the need to share this with others. The opposite happens when the company delivers shoddy products or services. the customer will act in an opposite way. They will recommend not to buy from this company. They should not buy from this company. So this works both ways. But how the companies can act in a very positive way regarding customer and empathetic way, always improving their product and services. Do not take for granted that your product and services are the best one forever, but you can always improve. And I always tell my clients, look for customer complaints. Customer complaints are always gold. They're giving you important feedback. You might take this in a non-constructive way, but the best way to approach this is in a constructive way. They are complaining. They are the one using the product and services. How can we improve this product and services? How can we offer more? How can a better company and also satisfy their needs in a better way, exceeding their needs and creating an imbalance? Because when you create an imbalance, customer pay for a product and you give more than expected. Well, in this case, customer feel indebted, feel compelled to come back and recommend your company.
Yes, definitely. And there's a couple of things we can unpack there about the over-delivering. I think Apple did it very well for quite a long time, but then they did end up resting on their laurels and have allowed some of the other competitors to come in and take over because they thought they had the best product. And unfortunately, they didn't continue to expand on that and keep it at that over-deliverer. It became the norm. And the problem, of course, with over-delivering is that you do it once, so then that becomes the benchmark. So the next time you've got to be a bit higher again, and then the next time a bit higher again, so that the bar keeps moving. So you definitely need to be able to adapt for that. And then the other thing that you said was about the complaints being gold. That is definitely, because if you don't know what you're doing wrong, you can't fix it. And if you're getting three or four things the same or more, then you know that you've definitely got an issue there. So that by having those as gold and taking them as a constructive approach, you can then fix whatever's wrong. And of course, having other people talk about you and say how wonderful you are is advertising that you can't buy, because even spending advertising dollars, people are still going to be a bit wary of you saying how wonderful you are. But if you've got 100 people saying that you're the absolutely the best person in writing books this week, then more people are going to take that on board.
I agree. And also, let's talk about different way of promoting, because advertising is very powerful. But you know, because it's paid, advertising is always paid. Obviously, there is a bias. You will try always to show the positive side of your company. But however, some way of promotion, like positive word of mouth, well, this is unpaid and this is more credible. And also because this implies in social psychology, we call this social proof. Include that many people have tested your product and they want to help others, either recommending this product or saying, okay, please do not use this product. And it's more credible. And customers, especially new generation, are looking for credibility, credible sources. This means that they look at reviews, for example, on Amazon, or they look at reviews every time that you buy electronic products. They look for review because they don't want to risk. They don't want to take their money and misuse their money. They want to spend their money wisely. So this is very important to have a good relationship, because you have like a community that is supporting you, community of customers that love your company and bring more customers that potentially can love your company too. And this is continually multiplying and continually growing. This is how companies started from zero, and then they became very big over time because of positive reviews and not necessarily investing a lot on advertising, what can be important in some cases, but small and medium-sized companies, in some cases, they don't have so much budget for advertising. Well, offering the best product available, taking into account customer need, and also customer will review your product sooner or later. Customer will talk about your product in a positive way or in a negative way. This compels you to do your best. And also, I like the word that you used before, not resting on the laurels, because there is a very interesting book that I read many years ago, Innovation or Die. This innovation or that. This is so true, because if you don't innovate, sooner or later, other companies will do, and you will be out of the market. Product will become obsolete. They will become old-fashioned, technologically not advanced. In practice, you are doing this not only to achieve higher objective, but also to satisfy the needs of customer and other stakeholders that are continually changing. Customers are becoming more demanding because they have a very wide choice. So it's important to understand that innovation is an ongoing process. It's not one-off activity. And also, as you mentioned, feedback from customer is free research. You have the comment from customer. You don't have to pay a consultancy company to research of what is going on. You have the negative comments. Many negative comments highlight a negative point. Well, we have to pay attention. And can we discuss why customers are saying that the packaging is not good or why the price is so high? Can we analyze? Can we do better? Taking action. All action should be taken into account. Not only company's objective, but customer objective, employee's objective, the community objective, the win-win-win-win agreement.
Yes, and sometimes it goes back to what you were saying before about the environment, because years ago, plastic was fine. But now that we're all being so much more environmentally friendly, having a lot of packaging is also a negative. So the product itself might be perfectly fine, but it comes in a huge big box and it's a small package. So therefore, that can be a negative. So you've just got to innovate your packaging. It may not be something on the product.
Yes, I agree completely. We call this over-packaging. So when packaging is over and it's more than necessary, many customers, especially new generation, consider this wasteful. This means that you are misusing resources. This is not a sustainable approach, meaning that you are not caring for this generation and future generation, because you're wasting resources. And in that case, if, for example, paper that comes from trees take a lot of time to develop, and also even some resources can be renewable, customer will appreciate companies that are, for example, recycling for resources or using resources that are well used in a way that they're not using an excessive way, the right packaging for right products. So this is very important. Sustainable approach, what we call sustainable business, imply that we don't have only few activities that are taken into account at communities and future generation, but all our business plan, all our business strategy is focusing on developing projects that taking into account the community, the customers and employees and new generation and future generations. Sustainable approach is very important.
Yes, and thinking about the way your employees are treated, because particularly in the clothing industry, there's been a lot of issues over the years about the way clothing's been made, whereas now that's not acceptable. Having to innovate the way that your staff work can really help you to stand out against your competitors.
Very important. Employees shouldn't be only paid a good salary. What is very important, these are economic needs that should be met, but they have emotional and mental needs. For example, employees should be developing plans that enhance their skills and natural talents. This is very important so that they can feel motivated. They can feel that they're contributing to this company. But employees should be contained and supported when they have some personal challenges, family challenges, or they have some problems at home. They should be encouraged to work flexible hours, or, for example, giving some permission to have some annual leave. Especially in these challenging times, employees feel like, in some cases, a bit insecure, they feel a bit anxious, and companies should support employees from the emotional perspective, not only economic perspective. And also, employees should be included whenever possible all these major decisions that companies make in these challenging times. Employee voice could be very important. Is activity related to customer. Why? Because employees is the first line that is in contact with customer. An employee can bring about very important feedback about what customer wants, how customer react to specific product and services. And decisions shouldn't be made only on the top level of a company, but should be made taking into account all participants, all those affected by this decision. And also employees should be appreciated because of their contribution. This is a very important component of love in business. We call this thankfulness or gratitude or appreciation. Employees, in some cases, are taken for granted. This means that they are not fully appreciated in writing or, for example, with a meeting or an event because of their contribution. And it's important to understand that without employees' contribution, company couldn't have achieved their objective. A very important way to appreciate is a thank you note, signed, a handwritten, or in some cases, a meeting with employees to give thanks to these employees because of their contribution. Help employees get more motivated because they feel that they count. What they do matters. So this is very important, being thankful, including employees in their decision and supporting employees in challenging times.
And a couple of things there too, by thanking those employees that they know that you're appreciating them. And of course, if the culture and the situation is good and that's where they want to be, they're less likely to then be looking for other jobs. Not having a high staff turnover is very good for your bottom line because you're not continually training people over and over.
Very important. I agree completely. We agree completely. And I will tell you, there is research on this. There is a paper called What Lab Had to Do With It. It's like remind us of like, the Tina Turner song. And it's a research study that was conducted. Barsadi and O'Neill observed that work environments that are more supportive, more compassionate, more loving with employees tend to bring about higher employee satisfaction, higher customer satisfaction, lower employee turnover, and lower employee absenteeism, and even lower stress levels. All these indicators impact positively on the bottom line. So this has a positive impact on profit. Very important. So it's profitable to be loving, to be supportive with employees. Obviously, you should do this in an unconditional way, but also this bring about positive results. And this is supported by research. It's very important. Thank you. Thank you for the comment.
Obviously not crossing the line to being inappropriate behavior, no. But loving in an empathetic kind of way. Yeah, perfect.
Talking about loving is important, and I like your comment because I want to highlight for the audience. When we're talking about loving, we're talking about loving from the humanistic perspective. And this includes empathy, support, care. This includes generosity, gratitude, appreciation, and compassion. And this is a very important quality that many companies do not have, because they focus only on quantitative aspect of business, profit, market share, sales. They do not care so much of qualitative of aspect of business. For example, camaraderie, companionship, loyalty, support, care, empathy. And there is a famous thinker that observed, not everything that counts can be counted, and not everything that can be counted counts. So we have to you have to get the balance between qualitative aspect of business and quantitative aspect of business. Many companies are only quantitative oriented. So this means that they're focusing only on smart objectives that can be measured. If you focus only on quantitative aspect of business, well, you're leaving a very important part of the human being working with you for your company aside. Employees are not only rational, they have emotion, they have a spiritual aspect, they have physical aspect, they have all type of needs. There is a very famous model, the Maslow hierarchy of need, that said that we have different type of need, different level of need, which implies we have need for security, safety, we have a need for belonging to groups, we have need for developing intellectually and so on. All needs should be met, not only the economic needs that are obviously basic, paying a good salary and also for employee to get their needs met, economic need met, but also other needs. Some topic like emotion, you cannot talk about so much emotion in the business environment because appear like a banned topic. But however, in these challenging times, talking about emotions and also using the term that is well used now, emotional intelligence, so being emotionally intelligent with employees, recognizing their emotions and try to develop more compassionate relationship with them, bring about positive result, not only for the employee, but for the company itself.
Yes, definitely. And I think through this challenging times, community has been a big focus, particularly with people now moving to working at home, whereas they've always been in office. So community is huge. And going back to one thing you said earlier about the employees being the first line for the customers, it's a bit like your negative feedback. If you don't actually ask those people what's going on and how they're feeling, then you might find that there's a storefront that has a counter in the wrong spot, and people are always bumping into it and they might be bruising themselves or hurting themselves or something. The customer may not say anything, but the employee at the counter is going to see that all the time.
They will see.
So by moving that would make a much better customer experience, and it's also going to make it better for the employee. But if you don't ask the question, then you're not going to know those sort of little nuances that happen all the time, that the employee just sort of shelves and says, oh, that's a bit annoying. Yeah, when you go and talk to your staff and actually ask, then you can get really minor things like that shifted, and it makes a huge difference.
I agree completely. And I will tell you, many companies do not like negative news. They don't want to face what we call brute facts. If things are going wrong, we should detect this as soon as possible. This is a positive view on mistakes or setbacks, because if we do not detect these mistakes, they will keep on going on and on. And so this will reduce our quality of performance. They will reduce quality of our delivery. And obviously, customer might notice this and will feel taken for granted. They might feel that their needs are not really met. their feedback is not taken into account, and this will make customers switch from this company to other organizations that will be listening, that will be actively listening to this customer. Act listening is very important. So employees that are in contact with customers should bring about as much feedback as possible from them and should even ask questions that prompt them to give feedback. Cannot be probably too positive from the company perspective, but is positive to improve company's activity, to get better, to innovate, to offer new products and services. So this is key. But many companies, and also especially companies that are very focused on decision made on the top level, in some cases the top level people do not want to receive negative news, are reluctant to get this negative, I would say, this constructive feedback that come from a customer that could prompt this company improve their product and services. But this should be considered as stepping stones to improve our company's performance, to offer better products, services, and to achieve higher objectives.
Definitely. A lot of our audience is small businesses, so they would see that negative as a personal attack, where it's not a personal attack at all. It's a way that you can actually improve your business. So this has been very useful. We've covered a lot of different things here. Can you tell our audience, Bruno, what the book's name is and where they can find it if they want to know more?
The Art of Compassionate Business. This was published by Routledge, 2019. It's a very nice book with lots of examples. You can find this book any bookshop online, Amazon or any other book online website. You can find these bookshops offline. Then you can find more information about this book on my website, that is www.humanorientedenterprise.com. The book can be found elsewhere too.
Excellent. And if they want to find more about you, Bruno, they can go to your website, which we will pop in the show notes. Yes. So that is fabulous. Okay. So at this point in the podcast, I do my 5 questions. Are you game?
I am very eager to answer this question.
Our first question is, what is the best advice you've been given by a mentor?
And I have many mentors, is always be thankful. You should always be thankful with people that help you. And also, you should be always thankful with people that give you feedback, positive feedback or negative feedback, because we're all interdependent. Stephen Covey observed that we are all interdependent. Interdependent means that we cannot thrive on our own. We can only thrive with the support of others. We can help others also thrive. So when you are thankful, you are appreciating what other people did for you. And also this tend to bring about positive ripples, positive effects that improve the relationship and brighten relationship with others. Always be thankful. This applies to business too. Thankful with customers, thankful with employees, thankful with the community, and this create long-term relationship. I try to be thankful. And I'm also very thankful for this invite with you. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. What is the biggest help you've received since starting your business?
I can say reading, because reading is very important, getting updated. I like when you commented about these new technological trends, new, for example, customer behavior trends. The best help is to keep yourself updated of what is going on in the world, what we call macro factors, technological changes, economic changes. And this also always adopt a beginner's mind. Beginner's mind means you do not know it all. You will never work it out fully. Why? Because we're always learners. So having a learner attitude implies always getting updated, comparing different views in a critical way. Do not accept a view like blindly, but also compare views. And also many tycoons like Warren Buffett observe that the best thing to do in business is reading a lot. He devotes many hours a day to read. And obviously is a person that I consider that is quite intelligent. And why? Because you are enhancing your mental skills, you're developing a better mindset, a more prosperous mindset, you are broadening your view, you are seeing some distinction that you couldn't see before, and you are detecting more opportunities. So a good business person is also a good reader, not only about their own topic, their own sector, but also they want to read what is going on in other sectors, because they might borrow some ideas. You might borrow some ideas that were applied in that sector, and then you can adapt to your own sector, what we call cross-fertilization. So this is very important. And this also develops much more neural pathways in your brain. When you read a lot, you make more connections. And also, I remember Steve Jobs that said, it's all about connecting the dots. Well, you can connect the dots when you get a lot of experiences. Also, you read a lot of things that are enhancing your critical and analytical skills.
Yes, perfect. And sometimes by reading, you can actually jump some of those steps by learning from some other people's windfalls or mistakes. So that can be a great way.
I agree completely, because you can see that other people made mistakes, and also you can borrow their negative experiences to avoid this mistake. So someone made this mistake, well, there is the path for me. Well, I won't do this mistake. And also I might do things differently. I will adapt this strategy to my own business. Very, very important. Thank you.
Perfect. I heard a podcast during the week, and it was from James Shremko, who's okay. A Australian podcaster of Superfast Business. And he was saying how people say to fail forward and fail quickly, but he doesn't actually like that, because he said if you can avoid failing at all and learn those lessons from somebody else, then even better still.
I agree.
And I thought that was very poignant.
I agree, because you can borrow some experience from others, and also by analyzing them in a very insightful way, you can say, okay, it was a mistake, this was a setback, but I don't have to go the same path. I can do things differently. This is very important. And this saves a lot of time, obviously, and also can do things much more productively.
Yes, definitely. Okay, what is the one thing that you have to do every day?
Every day when I wake up, I will try to take into account different relationships in my life. Close relationship, business relationship, academic relationship, for example, at university. And what I take into account is I will try to develop relationships, agreements, and develop situation where all parties, maybe relatives, maybe clients, maybe students that I'm teaching at university, all these people related to me are benefited with my participation, with the development of an agreement with me. So I will look always to take into account others' needs. I won't focus only on me. I will try to be less self-centered and less self-conscious and less egotistical. I will try to develop a mindset that implies sustainable relationship, developing sustainable relationship, developing long-term relationship. And this is the mindset that I get at the beginning of the day and before going to bed continues to. I think that the audience can ask themselves, how can I improve other people's lives? Not only my life, but other people's life. Everyone that I interact with could be a client, could be a customer, could be a colleague. How can I develop a much stronger relationship? Because I don't believe in short-term relationship. The only relationships that are valuable are the ones that are lasting over time, the ones that are both parties are benefited from this relationship and both parties have their needs met.
Excellent. Okay, and we were talking a lot about reading. So what is your favorite business book and why?
Okay, well, there are many. Yeah, two. Conscious Capitalism is a very good book, triggers an idea that is important and is related to the human side. The famous book of Stephen Covey, that is The 7 Habits of Successful People, a very important book, because obviously talk about interdependence, how businesses can only thrive when they take into account the contribution from different stakeholders and they treat stakeholders in a very supportive and compassionate manner. So this could be two business books to take into account. Try to be understanding, try to focus on others, try to listen to their needs, and then try to be understood by them. So this means focusing on them first and then focusing on you. And also there are many other principles that are very valuable in this book.
Absolutely. I love that. And I also love when they say we have two ears and one mouth, and that's for a reason. We should listen more than we do.
Very, very important. Yeah, but many people try to act in an opposite way. They talk a lot and they don't listen to anything. Yeah, you are
exactly.
So right.
So and they just wait for their turn to talk. They're not actually listening at all.
Yeah, but this doesn't work in business, because if you don't listen to customer will look for someone that will listen to them.
And that's becoming more and more relevant now that we have a worldwide economy where people can get their services just about anywhere. So, yeah, if you're not customer focused, then you're definitely not going to continue to stay in business.
And they have the power, because they have unlimited choice. If they cannot be satisfied with your company, there are hundreds of companies that will do well with them. You have to be very thoughtful and also concerned and focus on their needs.
Yes. And our final question is, what do you wish you had known when you first started out?
I would like 20 years ago, 25 years ago, to have known that the most important aspect in business is the human aspect. And the human aspect is connected to the economic aspect.
Perfect. And I think that brings to a lovely conclusion. So if people would like to do the jump of the learning curve and get more human orientated in their business, they just need to go and read your book. And then that's going to help them to stop some of their mistakes that they might make by not being as human orientated in their business. And whether you're a big or small business, I think it's all very relevant.
Yes, it's so true. Thank you very much. Thank you for your invite. And yes, if they want to know more about this approach, they can read the book that they can find everywhere.
Perfect. And we'll put that all in the show notes so that they will be able to find The Art of Compassionate Business. So thank you very much, Dr. Bruno, and we appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Don't forget to subscribe to Small Business Talk podcast and head on over to smallbusinesstalk.com.au/downloads for all the show notes and links to this episode. Remember, to be great, you must start. Pick one tip from today's episode, take action, and implement it. Let's meet again next week at the same time and place. Until then, take action. And SBT community, enjoy your journey.